Tempur-Pedic is the number one mattress in America, and Chicagoland buys it at Art Van Pure Sleep, the Midwest number one mattress store. Only Art Van Pure Sleep has an exclusive diagnostic sleep test that fits you to the right Tempur-Pedic for your body and your budget at the lowest price. And Art Van Pure Sleep will back it up with our exclusive 365-night guarantee. If you don't feel your Tempur-Pedic mattress is right for you, just return it and get your money back. Shop today, Chicagoland, and get a free Amazon Echo. Plus, no interest for 72 months. And every Tempur-Pedic is in stock for immediate free next-day delivery guaranteed. If not, your Tempur-Pedic mattress is free. It's where Chicagoland buys Tempur-Pedic.
Art Van Pure Sleep, the great night's sleep store.
See it all and shop it all at artvan.com.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to Geico. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidgewoman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidgewoman, Geico retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidgewoman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
That ball hit high and deep to right field. Stretch. Pitch back. You can. It's 1-0, good guys. That's in the gap. That's in the gap, and he's going to give it a shot.
Keep on going,
He's going to give it a shot.
Keep on going.
Yes! 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 His fifth triple.
Well, that was the home run and the triple. I don't know if we have the single and the double cut up, but it is apparently from the actual Jose Abreu cycle. That is one of our Chicago sports moments of the year.
The single and double, the single and double were so great, they're lost to the sands of time.
They've been swallowed up, and only a ragtag band of rogues led by Nicolas Cage can possibly find them and unearth them. So there's a tweet, Teddy Greenstein of the Tribune just tweeted, our list is better than a guy who's never heard of Saquon Barkley. Taking a shot at Baldy McCrindy. there's no question, but this is really, and texters are all over it, also saying, wait a second, what about raising the banner at Wrigley? What about the Bulls trading Jimmy Butler for Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn? Yeah, that would probably have been on my list. The 630 says the Mark Burley number retirement, the Cubs winning the division, the final show for Terry Bors, and the 630 says the dilly-dilly has to be Rosenblum. Right, but you don't have to use it. See, that's an editor's job. If you're the Tribune sports editor, one of your primary jobs is figuring out Rosenblum. Because, you know, on a given day, you don't know where he's coming from. You don't know if he's trying to be serious, if he's playing along with any of your little reindeer games or not. So there's no question that anybody who works on that desk knows to either, when Rosenblum's submission comes in, either you take it seriously or you just delete it. So my guess is for a list like this, they probably just go, no. And the 630 says, my son took 65th in the state 2A cross-country finals. Did that make the list? No. The 309, you mean Tariq Cohen's called back big play explosion? Well, he's had some. I mean, I give him credit. He's had some backwards explosions, too, and some horrible decisions where he's reading from the Devin Hester playbook, apparently. All right, but that's not why you called. It's a Bernstein and Goff show solo today with you. Hi, how you doing? Happy holidays. And again, wide open today, so you know, feel free, whatever we're talking about, to talk about whatever you want. I want to make sure that we don't overdo whatever this Bears outcome is, especially if they lose. And they really could lose. They're bad enough and hurt enough that they're capable of losing anybody, and it is really, really, really hard to go winless, even when you're a team as bad as the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, their run defense is not terrible, and sometimes you get that dead cat bounce, and very often in the John Fox era, that dead cat bounce comes against the Bears. But it's starting to feel like if they lose, it'll be yet another declaration of rock bottom and another fire everybody and there's no standard, no leadership, whatever. I continue to look at sort of the realpolitik here for me. And I know you. Maybe you're just always angry at everybody, fire everybody, and I'm selling my season tickets. Blah, 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 blah. Fine. The way I look at what's most probable for what's going to happen, and if I owned the team, what I think I would do is get to the end of this season and tell Ryan Pace that I'm not firing you, but you're on the clock now. It's your quarterback. Go hire a coach. You're in charge of the football organization. And I don't know if that talk needs to occur, if it's already occurred, or if it's simply tacit, if that's an understanding upon being hired to be the top football voice in the organization. For everyone who says they need a new team president, make no mistake, Ryan Pace is in charge of all things football in that building. It's his budgets, it's his guys, all of it. So I think you say, Ryan, this has to be better. Make it better now. Start right now. Whatever you have to do, make this better. And I give him an opportunity to hire a coach. This isn't a blanket endorsement of Ryan Pace as being great at his job or having succeeded to this point in building some sort of emulation of the New Orleans Saints that he envisions. But he drafted his quarterback. I'm going to give him a coach that is completely his. And then it better start to get better fast, or we're all going to have problems. And by the way, I guess that John Fox is apparently putting on some kind of comedy show in this press conference today. And I'm looking forward to having the sound as soon as Zach sends it or as soon as Zach is on, because we've got some absolute gold from John Fox. Zach's going to join us at 2:20 with some of this stuff. But let's grab a phone call. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score, dialed by Mike in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He's on The Score. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Burns. How you doing today, buddy?
Okay.
So, quick question. Going to the game on Sunday for my brother's 40th birthday present. At the beginning of the season, picked this one. Thought it was going to be the only one we could win. However, I feel the opposite now. My question is, when is it going to be appropriate for us to move down into the lower level to get a better view of the field instead of being up stuck in the nosebleeds where we're at? Now hang up and listen to your response.
I have no idea. Like I say, I haven't been to a Bears game as a fan in, 30 years, Mike. I don't even know if they keep you from doing that anymore. I think that would be a question I'd have to crowdsource, because I don't know if they allow that at all. If they say, all right, everybody come on down and fill in the lower bowl now. So I can't answer that, because there are some stadia that will police that for the entire time of the game to protect the value for the people that own those seats.
Yeah, but what is the value of it if they're not going to show up and they're paying in the crowd and there's just empty seats everywhere? Wouldn't you want the lower bowl filled up then? Everything else?
I don't know what the rule is. I think every stadium, I don't know if there's a league protocol on that, but there are some people that will say, you know, that regardless of whether or not they're there, it's still their seat. It's not, if you didn't buy that seat, you shouldn't be sitting in that seat. And there are some other places that'll say, hey, everybody just push down as close as you can. I've been to concerts where the singer has said, come on, everybody move down. Let's go. Everybody just push in and move down. I don't want you all back there. Let's make this as close as we can, and it's a more intimate setting. And I've seen people do that. But I don't think at some point on the field the players are going to turn like, where is everybody? Come on down. I don't know. In Lombard, it is Sam. Sam is on The Score. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, fine.
So I had a quick question just to get your thoughts. In terms of the Cubs, I know they're doing a huge push, obviously, for the bullpen. It's the main bulk of their issues. Mike Montgomery, while nothing's, official yet in terms of them maybe trying to go after him or not, I'm confused as to why he's not more of a discussion for a starting pitcher. I know he was mainly relief and kind of the going back and forth, and I'm pretty sure he wants to be a starting pitcher.
Pretty sure he's already been bitching about it.
So, I mean, my question is, why is it not more of a discussion? Because from what I saw, and maybe I saw something different than other people, and I'm not a professional, but he was pretty decent, pretty good. And, I mean, he knows the Cubs system. He was reliable.
But how does it – what do you mean by knows their system?
So, I mean, in terms of he's familiar with the team. I mean, in terms of not synergy or anything, because it's not like anything.
I'm not sure what the value of familiarity with a team is in a starting pitcher, because you're pitching against the opposing team.
I'm just talking about bringing a new pitcher in, maybe not being as familiar with the team. I mean, it's just
what's the value in familiarity with
it? So poor choice of words on my part. I'm more focused on the fact that I thought he was a pretty darn good pitcher. And for the money that we'd probably have to dish out to get someone like Yu Darvish compared to Mike Montgomery.
Yu Darvish is way, way, way better than Mike Montgomery. And why do you care about the money?
I'm just talking about in the upcoming years with the amount that we're going to have to dish out for a lot of our rookies who are still under contract, these lower contracts. I'm just talking about when we have some of these other high-priced contracts.
Right, but you're in the middle of a World Series possibility window right damn now. Why are you worried about the future?
I guess that's a good question. Maybe it's just the fact that it took so long for us to get here. I mean, I'm only 25, so I'm on the very young aspect of being a Cubs fan. I guess I'm already worried about losing something that we've just started, if that makes sense.
I guess, but I wouldn't be concerned about whether or not the Cubs think. Apparently, they just don't want him to be a starter. Theo Epstein said, "Hey, you'll do whatever we want you to do while you're playing for us." I don't know why that would be top of mind for you when they have Tyler Chatwood, who they apparently like better. I think they are going to add another starter. I don't know if they want to overpay for one or trade for Chris Archer or one of the other names out there. And we know that Alex Cobb is on their radar. They're going to add more bullpen pieces as well, along with Brandon Morrow and Steve Cishek are the guys that are already there. I don't know why. I guess why it matters to you. I think Mike Montgomery was okay. He had some good starts. He had some not good starts. Last year he was a 1.3 win pitcher with an expected fielder independent pitching of 4.35. So he's kind of meh. But there's value in his versatility. I think where you can stretch him out. You can use him out of the bullpen. So I think that they recognize that versatility itself is what has value. This segment is brought to you by Office Depot Office Max. You've had a big year, so treat yourself to great deals on tech and furniture at Office Depot Office Max. You deserve it. Office Depot Office Max, taking care of business. So there are a couple of texters also are asking about the stuff about Dick Enberg. Here's the deal. I can't lie to you when it comes to these things about whenever somebody famous dies and there's always an outpouring. I'll be truthful when it comes to the retirement of Vin Scully, and I told you my personal Vin Scully stories and all that. And we've talked to Dick Enberg on the afternoon show here a couple of times. I think I talked to him years ago when I was hosting evenings back in 1999. I mean, nice guy and a really versatile, valuable broadcaster. Did a lot for a long time. I just don't have either strong feelings or indelible memories. I know he called the 85 Super Bowl, actually in 1986, but he called the Super Bowl that was won by the 85 Bears. But I don't remember a single call. I know he's famous for saying, "Oh my." Great.
First down, Jacksonville. They trail 13-0. The screen is intercepted. Big Keith Traylor. Look at him rumble. 40, 50. Watch out. The earth is shaking. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He won't give it up. Oh, my.
And I know Chicago already has a refrigerator. Maybe they got room for an ice maker. He's picking them up. He's laying them down.
71 yards. It must look like 7,100 yards.
Okay. I didn't remember he called that either. And I, maybe in some way it's a backhanded compliment for a guy who did it as long as he did and was doing a little bit of everything. That I loved the broadcast, the basketball broadcasts with Billy Packer and Al McGuire, because they were just the right kind of critical and goofy. But he kind of stayed out of the way there. He said a bunch of last names, and he let McGuire and Packer be the show. And it was fun. But you don't remember Enberg. I guess it is a way of saying that he knew what to do and what not to do, and letting pictures tell the story and letting the story be the story. He never made himself the story. So a veteran broadcaster who's, I guess I will remember his name much more than I will actually remember much of his work, if that makes any sense. It could just be my fault in that regard, but one of the sports voices of my lifetime, and I can't tell you, oh yeah, I'll never forget this one time he called this one play, because I think I already have. Here's a solid play-by-play man in his own right, but he's now getting fat and happy with all these DePaul victories. Zach Zaidman, who is on Twitter at Zach Zaidman, joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. I'm following on Twitter, Zach. Dude, if this is what I think it's going to be, it might be the greatest thing of all time.
To steal a phrase from Dick Enberg, oh my, I think that best describes what we heard at the podium from John Fox today. And this all started, for those that have no idea what I'm about to play from an audio standpoint. So earlier this morning, you know, the Bears every week on their website, they have this thing called Coffee with Coach. And John Fox, with a cup of coffee, just kind of sits around and he talks about things that have nothing to do with football. So you learn a little bit about the personality of the Bears head coach, which obviously you rarely learn when he's at the podium talking football. There hasn't been much stuff to talk about from a football standpoint over the last 3 years, unfortunately. But we found out that when he was a kid, one of his Christmas gifts that he remembers was getting a pet monkey. And I'm just going to so when we found this out, the festivities began with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, who posed this question. And I'm just going to play this raw and try not to giggle. Try to listen to the whole thing.
It's all a monkey.
And then you'll... Just, you're about to have a good old time for the next few minutes.
Talked to you about quarterback play and turnover margin over the years.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to ask you about Gidget the Woolly Monkey.
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit interesting, but that's a real story. I actually have pictures to prove that. Yeah, but anyways, they asked me about what my Christmas gift was. That year we'd gone down to my grandparents. They had a home down in Marathon Key in Florida. And so on the way back up from that, we happened to stop at a pet store. In those days, that was all legal, it was above board. I don't think they're selling too many of those things now. But yeah, she was actually a great pet. And it was, you know, as I look back at it, very unusual, you know, for today's world.
How old were you?
I was probably about 11 or 12, yeah. We got her as a real small baby. And so she was very, very friendly.
Christmas
game? Yeah. Well, we were down in Florida for Christmas, so it was... I think she was around for about 3 years. My brother had a little mishap, tied her up, and she got wrapped up, and she actually got sunstroke, believe it or not. You know, you'd think a monkey in tropical land would be fine, but it didn't work out so well. They eat about anything. They just happen to like grapes, you know, so... you know, I think without going through her whole diet, you know, it's, we're reaching pretty low here. It was my uncle's pet, Oscar the ocelot. Yeah. She was like a pet. Yeah, she went for walks. Well, they
came up with who named her.
My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey.
His mom was?
Right, no, yeah. No. Gidget.
Oh, I thought he said his mom was a monkey.
Actually, it's probably the most interesting thing, but no. We can move on. Yeah, you can ask a football question, Larry. Appreciate you rescuing me. Yeah.
Adrian Amos is a guy.
All right, so let's fade it down right there. For those wondering, Adrian Amos looks like he's good to go come Sunday against the Browns.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about right now. Wait, okay.
If you're worried about that.
Hold on a second here.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, they went to Marathon Key.
Yes.
They didn't live there.
No, the grandparents were there.
Okay, but they were there for Christmas.
Yes.
But while there, the family decides to buy a monkey and bring it home with them.
Yeah, because back then, apparently, according to Fox, you know, he's not the youngest guy. So back then, apparently, you could do that.
I'm not saying you can. Dave, don't bring the monkey over by the vulture, Dave. You don't want to do that. Dave, the cobra shouldn't be on your desk. I don't know. Why would you choose to travel home with a monkey rather than going home and buying a monkey once you're home? That's the part of it that doesn't quite add up for me. Hey, as long as we're here, it's not like buying a notebook or something you're throwing in your carry-on bag. Don't you create all sorts of issues when you're choosing to travel home with a pet monkey?
Dan, you grew up in Chicago.
Yes.
You know, I don't think in this neck of the woods that anyone goes around saying, hey, you know what? I'm willing to bet for Hanukkah you never asked for a monkey. Or an animal, for that matter.
No. We're
just different.
We had fish, and they were fine. And then we had a crab in the fish tank, and he died. And not of sunstroke.
No. who knew?
I got to name the crab, and I thought it was very cute that I named him Claude.
Look at you.
Everybody thought, cute kid. Yeah, whatever. But the Claude died. He had a very short life in this barren hellscape we call Earth. But so Gidget was tied up and died of sunstroke.
Yes. A little mishap, I believe. I think it's right around here. Let's take a listen.
My brother had a little mishap, tied her up, and she got wrapped up, and she actually got sunstroke. Believe it or not, you know, you'd think a monkey in tropical land would be fine, but it didn't work out so well.
No. So, see, you learn something every day. Yeah.
I just got a tweet here from my friend Tom who says, this is a great exit interview.
You didn't even mention, I'm surprised that you haven't.
Well, turn in your security badge.